This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our Bill and Ted Face the Music review. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Excellent!
Okay, fine.
Syndication!
You're doing two shit things, fuck you.
That is the soundboard. Welcome to this review of the brand new 2020 sequel to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which reunites Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter in the iconic title roles. This one's directed by Dean Parasot, who's the guy who directed Galaxy Quest.
Oh, yes.
It's written by Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson from characters, of course, that they created. And other than Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter, stars Kristen Schaal, Samara Weaving, Bridget Lundy Payne, Anthony Carrigan, Kid Cudi. Do you even know who that is?
Yeah, he's like a young person, music person.
Yeah, which is why I don't know him.
No, wait, yeah, I know of him.
William Sadler as Death and Gillian Bell. It was made for $25 million. And of course, the way that they've released this one, it's only made $1.6 million thus far.
Could you chat just for a second on how they released this? Is that because it's like only theaters that are open?
Yeah. Simultaneously, it was released to premium video on demand for, I think, $20 American.
Was it?
Yeah. And so that the budget, the box office never has that PVOD in there because it's only ever estimated.
Yeah, of
right?
course.
So it's just the cinema that takings of it. And it was released in territories where it's safe to, and I think in some markets in America, to cinemas. So here in Australia, we got it at the cinema, or we're getting it at the cinema. I don't believe it releases here till next Thursday. We were fortunate enough to see an advanced screening. But of course, if you wanted to, you could already have downloaded it, I think, through whatever premium channel.
Is that so? If you wanted to.
Yeah. So it's a hybrid release. It's one of the first times that they've done this. And this is Hollywood testing the waters for various release models in this post. This? Well, not in post. Continuing COVID world.
That's so different, man. Because, you know, remember The Interview? The James Franco special?
Yes.
They actually released that this way and it made all the money they expected it to make under normal release. However, it was the first time it happened and it had all the press of we almost started a war
with North Korea. So.
So who knows? This is very interesting. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, Wayne, give us the plot synopsis for Bill and Ted Facing the Music.
Check it out, people. 29 years after their last adventure, life is not going so well for Bill and Ted because both their man and their band and the marriages are on the brink of collapse. You know that song they were supposed to have written that united the world? They haven't actually written it yet. And they're like fucking 60. How old are they?
The actors are both in their mid-50s.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is Keanu only mid-50s?
Yep.
Oh, good on him. The duo are contemplating growing up until a visitor from the future tasks them with writing seemingly another song that saves the universe, or maybe the song, I'm not quite sure. But instead of writing it, they decide to travel through time and steal it from their older selves. Meanwhile, they got young daughters who devise their own musical scheme to help their fathers bring harmony to the universe. That's what this movie is about, everyone.
Yeah, it's a bit all over the place. But that is the description, and we'll give some non-spoiler impressions, and then let's get into the spoilers after the denoted sound drop.
Excellent.
Brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Wayne, what did you think of Bill and Ted?
Okay, let's just say first of all that I actually picked up and saw Bogus Journey the day before this. Bogus Journey fucking sucks. That's a shit movie straight up. I gave up three or four times. Ugh, and back
I don't think it's a shit film. I
don't know if I was in the
wrong. It's nowhere near as good as Excellent Adventure.
No.
I will totally acknowledge that.
Sure.
They tried to do
sure.
something different. Which was, let's not just make it a time travel
Absolutely.
Movie. Let's give it this fantastical spin.
But it was stupid.
They go to heaven and hell, or hell and heaven. And then this film then picks up both of those threads. It's got the time travel element and it's got the fantastical element. So it's kind of like a best of, well, it's trying
This is
the
greatest hits compilation.
Yes.
That is not necessarily a bad thing at all. All right? Especially for a product like a franchise like this, which you're not really supposed to take seriously.
Oh, absolutely not.
But I will tell you this. This is the best of the three.
What?
That's right. This one here is the best of the three.
Sorry.
Fuck off.
What? No.
Well, look. Let me say to you.
I'm stunned.
No, I found it. Okay, look. I wasn't expecting anything.
We walked out of the cinema and Wayne was like.
I wasn't horrifying, but I was.
I was like, oh God, it's going to be a shit fight.
No, here's what it is, okay? One, first of all, the production. I know it's 30 years later, right?
Obviously
or whatever,
it looks
right?
much better.
The production value is much, much better. When I saw the other two movies, this was Keanu Reeves. Because I fully stand behind this, right? There is an actual movie where Keanu Reeves learned to act. And that movie is Street Kings. Okay? Every performance before that was all Bram Stoker's Dracula.
No,
fucking
okay. No one's defending Dracula. But in the original two Bill and Ted's, I think he plays the dude he's playing well. It doesn't require a lot of range, don't get me wrong.
Okay, but here it is, right? Yes, you are right, because he made that character, and he's just going, yo, whoa, what's up? Well, you know, he's just doing that, all right?
Alex Winter.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So that's him doing that, all right? Yep. However, now watching him do that under the guise of actually having learned to act, there is a layer over it that makes me appreciate the performance
really?
More.
Really? Because if anything, I thought he was more out of place than Alex Winter was.
He was, because he had actually grown up.
Yeah, because he's also John Wick and Neo.
That's right.
And the dude from Street Kings.
Yes, and his face is like, it's weird to see old men dressed like young men, all right? But like...
Well, what I did appreciate is they softened the, whoa, dude.
Thank God for that. Bit. Yes, because if you know what? If they kept doing that at the age of motherfucking 50, that would be shit. I would hate that, all right? So they didn't do that, so yes, I say that's good.
Yeah, I would guess they are, because if they're coming out of high school in 88, then they are about 50 in this film's chronology.
Well, something that was nice and life-affirming about this film is that... actually, no, I will save that for spoilers. Okay. Sorry, yep. spoilers. Yep. But I actually did not mind it. I thought to myself, the girls, right? So the daughters. Now, these are clearly the daughters to the two princesses that they had in the last three movies.
Yeah, which begs the question of...
They seem very hands-off as mothers.
Yeah, and it's clear that the girls have a very strong affection for their dads and are the only fans that their dads now have.
Which I'm told is typical of your daughters.
Ask me again in 13 years.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Yeah, yeah.
And I guess they're 17, 18, they're meant to be. Samara Weaving playing very young. Very young.
Now, there's a moment, just for talking about this.
I disliked these characters.
Okay. I understand. Look, watching young doofus girls is not funny like watching young doofus boys. Do you know what I mean?
It's not even a gender thing. It's just...
No, I don't...
It feels out of place in 2020.
Okay, here's what was happening during the movie, right? Having seen Ready or Not, we both agree that Samara Weaving is a fetching young lady.
Yeah.
Right?
She's attractive and she's talented.
And she's very talented, all right?
And you haven't seen her. She's in a... You should watch it, actually. You might enjoy it.
Which one?
It's directed by McG, so sorry. But it's called The Babysitter. It was on Netflix. It's kind of like a horror comedy. And there's a sequel coming out to it in like 2 weeks. So,
The Babysitter. Yeah. You know, I enjoyed McG's work in that Kevin Costner movie, 3 Days to Kill. It's actually pretty good.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I would dig it. I might dig him.
Yeah, so.
But I know it's a horror.
It is, but it's definitely more a comedy. Evil Dead 2 type comedy horror.
The Babysitter.
Yes.
Right, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Sorry, back to the show.
yes. In those films, she's played to be, less so in Ready or Not, but in that film, she's certainly played to be the sexy vamp of a character.
Sure, sure. Now,
so
I
watch her regress to
I'm telling you, I know what Paul felt.
16, 17.
Oh, look, no one's happy with that, but I'm just saying that Paul, what she was doing, her performance, everyone, is...
terrible.
No! Performance is actually good. What she was doing, and I find this very brave for a young actress, all right? She's actually making faces. She's like, she's doing that, right? And she's actually sort of protruding her chin, so she's got a double chin to make herself kind of ugly, and that makes it funnier. And I appreciate that kind of conscientiousness with the performance. Typically, as a, you know, you're trying to look as attractive as possible all the time, but she's not doing that, you see. And so I wasn't. But Paul was like, ugh. Paul was turned off by it. Everyone, I saw it.
Turned
I
off.
Fucking saw it.
That's the wrong. But I didn't like it.
Yes, I know.
And I wasn't looking for the kids to be sexy.
Look, don't get me wrong. I think.
Jesus.
Now you're making it weird. I wasn't saying that.
Well, you said turned
you.
Off.
Whatever.
You idiot.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Even balls.
Anyway, I didn't like their characters. I didn't like their one note kind of, whoa, our dads are so cool. Yeah, we just totally ignore the influence of our moms.
Now, if there's an issue with the movie, it's that. And here's the thing as well. It spends, basically the movie divests at some stage and it's a bit on the girl and a bit on the guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And then there's a third plot thread we'll talk about in the spoilers.
Exactly. So, a lot of time is spent, I think, in batches with the girls. And perhaps I found that a little bit tedious. I found that made the movie longer than it was. Because you told me later on it was like 90 minutes, right?
Yeah, 95, I think, is the final one.
It felt longer to me. So I don't know about that. But I did actually think that Alex Winters was funny. There's a scene where he's sort of doing an English accent. And I pissed myself at that scene. Just a one line that he dropped. It was really, really good. So there's actual laughs in here, people. You have to be in a good mood.
This is the ultimate... Sit down with your mates on, you know, premium video on demand, or if you can, go to the cinema. This is the ultimate watching it with your mates and a couple of drinks in your belly.
Absolutely.
Type film.
Get like
and
a little drunk.
The only people who are going to enjoy this movie, right, are those who can appreciate the characters back then. Now, you're as close to not appreciating them.
Agree.
So I would say you're the edge of that test.
Totally.
Case.
If anyone's not going to like it, it's going to be me or someone.
And the fact you hated Bogus Journey, I think those this film and that film are about on the same par.
The only good thing about... Well, we'll talk about Booker's Journey when I do my top 10 list then, but...
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what was... spoilers again, sorry.
Yeah, all right. We're probably coming to the... Here's some other things I appreciated.
Yeah, please, come on.
There's a new character in here who is a robot, and it plays very differently than you expect at the opening. Brilliant.
The robot is the best thing about this movie.
Wonderful addition, and by far the funniest character.
Whoever that guy is, he kills. That guy is genuinely funny. I liked him. That made this movie better.
Without that character, I'm not sure this film would have got a pass.
This film is like 15 points. That robot is 15 points, man.
It was great to see, and of course, if you're a fan and you've seen the poster, it's great to see Death again, and I incorrectly called him the actor. It's William Sadler, who is very... And also, he's a producer on the film.
Is he?
Yeah.
Clever boy.
Yep. So
he was in that shitty ass show that you guys like.
It's in Demon Knight.
Oh yeah, he was in Demon Knight, but he's also in that fucking crappy Alan Ball fucking show that you like.
Banshee?
Yeah, that fucking movie.
Was he in that?
Yeah, he was like the bad guy. He used a Makiwara board and everything. It was weird. Yeah, he was. That was him.
Are you thinking of the Amish bad guy?
Hang on,
that's not him.
Oh, okay, is it?
No. They look a little alike.
Are you sure? All right, fine.
Have a look.
All right, fuck it, fine. Okay. Yeah, totally not him. All right, sorry.
But I see the similarities, I do.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's an easy mistake. It's like, what I really liked about this movie is the clear affection Bill and Ted have for each other, the love they have for one another. It's that feel-good nature of it. And I think the fact that you couldn't get that coming off the screen unless Keanu Reeves and Alex Winters had the same affection for each other. And my understanding is they have remained friends all these years.
Is that so?
That they're good buds.
That makes me feel good.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the best thing about this. In trying times, in a year which is going to go down as one of the worst in history
ever
across the board, this is a little bright light. It's fun, but you can't think about it too deeply. I don't think it holds up in reference to the other films if you give it any thought whatsoever.
No, but I agree completely. And I don't believe that's a problem because it's so ridiculous anyway.
Yes.
Right?
And I want to come to that,
so you can go
on the other side of spoilers.
Yeah.
So just hold that thought in mind.
Can I just say one thing, people?
Yeah.
Go and see the movie if you have even a little bit of interest, because if we don't go out to the cinemas, they won't be there anymore for us, and that's going to suck.
If it's safe for you to
Safe for you to go out and see this and you're remotely interested, just go see it. It's like a little PSA.
The real thing that's shocking me here is I think that Wayne is going to be hotter on this film than I am.
No, I think I am.
Which has blown my mind.
I think I am.
My little tiny mind has now been atomized because I was fully prepared to defend this film, even though I was going to have to acknowledge it's pretty hard to defend it.
I'm actually telling you that this is the best of the three. I like this Wayne far more than the first
manifestly
one.
Manifestly wrong.
I like this Excellent way Adventure more than the first one. The best of the three. Anyone who's a fan will disagree with me, i.e. Paul.
The first one is genuinely funny.
But this is...
This one is treading on the goodwill established before, other than the robot character.
I laughed more in this one. That's
because you watched that. I guarantee you watched that first one with your arms folded and a frown on your face going, fucking Paul.
No, if you remember my review actually for the first one was all right. Stars, it was all right, yeah. It was the second one that was fucking shit. But yes, that's me.
Second one's not as good. Oh, 100% agree. All right, that's our basic review, non-spoiler review of Bill and Ted's Face Music. Let's now check out what we think of the rest of the plot on the other side of this. All right, if you're still here, you haven't seen the film and you don't care, or you have seen the film and you do care about what we might think. Wayne, what's the point you wanted to make before?
Okay. This is life-affirming. I see this as a man, a mid-40s man who sees the grave growing closer every day.
Sadly.
Yeah. Bill and Ted, when they start time traveling in this movie, are like, what do you say, mid-50s, right? They go forward.
They're probably 50, I would say, in the film.
They go forward in time so many times that by the time they hit one of them, right, like these guys had to have lived to about 90 in order for this stuff to have happened. And it was kind of cool that they were still developing at the age of 55, 60, 70 and stuff like that. They were still trying to do stuff. I found that oddly life affirming.
Okay.
I found it like, oh, okay, you can probably still do shit after you're 15, 16, 70.
I hope so.
I certainly hope so too. But, you know, it's hard to appreciate over here. So that was kind of cool. Go on.
Well, what I wanted to say is, as much as I didn't love the daughter characters, I like the fact that we have the Excellent Adventure side of the film is given to them. They're going back to get this group together to be the ultimate band, to do the song which is going to save reality and unite the world. So as much as those characters they picked up weren't as good as Socrates and Billy the Kid.
No.
Mozart, Jimi Hendrix, in particular, their little back and forth was pretty cool. And then the other guy, who's the guy? Armstrong? Louis Armstrong was also, the others were just completely innocuous, and so you could see that that was a...
It was an odd choice. Like, one of the drummers they picked up was like the...
Someone from the Stone Age.
Yeah, from the Stone Age. It was like, how did you all hear about that person being the same?
Exactly. So, okay. Like I said, this film, if you think about it, doesn't hold up, right?
Well, wait.
But the biggest retcon is, we just jettisoned the entire final part of Bogus Journey.
Yes.
Where we got all the newspaper clippings over the end credits showing how they advanced to become the biggest band in the world, and how they would have infused popular culture that in 2600 or 2700, whatever it is, they're still referenced as the deity, so to speak, that they
are. That's right, because in Bogus Journey, they were already in a university that was learning Bill and Teddy type things, and they were only like, there's only a few
really
years in the future.
To have jumped back.
They just said, fuck it all off.
And so apparently, now, a big shout out to good friend of the show, Jason from the Binge Movies podcast. Hmm. Jason apparently has been in a Twitter war all week with Ed Solomon.
Who's that?
One of the writers.
What?
Creators of...
Tell me all about it.
Apparently, he started pulling it to pieces in a way more nuanced way than I have just done there, right?
Yeah.
And Ed Solomon was, no, you got it fucking wrong, because our quantum physicist that we consulted to do this.
Really?
And then the quantum physicist got involved.
Oh, shit! This is awesome!
And eventually conceded Jason's point, and Jason thought, that's the end of it. And then Ed Solomon took a snapshot of that whole description, and it's like, this fucking guy or whatever.
Oh, shit! He got flamed after that! That's hilarious, man!
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I would make a whole video about that if I was him.
I think Jason... I'm not even sure I can release my review of this film because it's too incendiary now that I will...
Oh, fuck it. What are they going to do?
Yeah, anyway.
Are you kidding me? That's money in the bank.
Well, right. But the point being, and full credit, please go... If Jason does release his review, go there and check it out, and he'll tell the story much better than I just did, because he told me off mic. Jason from Binge Movies.
Got it.
Yeah, which I'm going to be on his show in short order to review. I'm Thinking of Ending Things. We did our review there.
Cool.
Anyway, point is, it doesn't hold up in that way. And I think Ed Solomon's argument was, oh, it's kind of a different reality. They've not set
you
that
can't
up
just
at
say that.
All.
Yeah, you can't just say that. No, it's not after that. You know what I found, maybe you can explain this to me, because this may have come up, not sure, in that thing, but here's something I don't get, right? In the movie, it's a time limit. It's like, guys, you have like fucking an hour or whatever, right? A few hours to write the song that's supposed to unite the world. And if you don't do it, the world is sort of like falling to pieces.
Reality
is like people are turning up places and disappearing places. So
people coming out of time. And just
just boom, poof, poof, and they're turning up, right? Now they're sitting there going, okay, well, we have to do this. Well, we're on the clock. And then they fast forward to the future where apparently nothing changed. Like whatever time thing that they were like restraint that they were under because the world was imploding, they just went to the future and the world didn't implode. So what the fuck? Is that? Like, and then they'll go further in the future and nothing's wrong there either. So they don't have to do fuck all, mate.
Yeah, and this is, I think, where string theory comes into play, and that every decision creates a new universe and all this kind of stuff, but they don't establish
it. No, it's not. There's no... And you know what? I'm a little sick of the whole, hey, audience, just go with this, okay? Fuck off. No!
But as you said, this film is so dumb. This series is so dumb. Yeah. You can't really give it too much. I mean, to me, if you could even semi-seriously take the time travel element semi-seriously, if that goes out the window once we're talking heaven and hell in Bogus Journey. Which they go back to here. They go back to that well. And that's where Bill and Ted wind up after going forward and meeting themselves. And there are some amusing scenes where they meet themselves, particularly in the prison where they're jacked up.
That part's cute. See, that's another thing. It's another 10 years in the future and they look like that.
They look like that. Yeah, they basically look like 40-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. Like jacked up.
Who've been working out.
But you
know, for 38 years.
Well, one issue that I had was that, you know, the scene where they're trying to convince Death to get them back up to the surface and stuff, that went way too long. I was sitting there going, ugh, shut up.
Well, that's because Death hadn't been in the film at all till that point, and he's such a major part of Bogus Journey. In fact, to my mind, the best part of Bogus Journey by a long, long way. Mm. Sooner or later, you'll dance with the Reaper.
I wondered why he's putting on that accent. It was really weird. Like, Death is what, Norwegian? I don't know. It's like Eastern European.
Well, I think he's meant to be Swedish.
Swedish.
Because Ingmar Bergman's Seventh Seal?
Yeah.
Seventh Seal.
Yeah.
That's the prototypical.
Interesting. I did not know this.
Of Death, and it looks like that. And
I'm glad
the same
to have that answer. I'm glad
same version of Death that pops up in The Last Action Hero.
Is it?
Yeah. So well, that's cool. Where that was kind of created. And I think it's a nod back to that. I think. Don't quote me.
I kind of like that better. I enjoy that better. Okay, good. That's nice. All right. Not bad. The girls, let's just say that because the movie does divert, and then it's like it spends time with the girls and the guys. The idea that the girls end up sort of inadvertently.
The daughters. No, well, they are the ones that save reality.
They're the ones
who are. Makes no sense.
Do you want to know?
How does the rest of the world not, or the future not realize they are the ones and not the dads?
I've got much bigger problems than that, Paul. Here's what happens, right? as they're writing this song, they have to go back into every moment in history and every musician apparently in history and teach them this song so everyone plays it all at once and it saves the world.
Within 5 minutes.
No, no, no. Forget within 5 minutes. That's the most believable part of this. The least believable part is they haven't written the song yet, but they're already traveling back in time and they go, okay, listen, it's like, it's, they say it's in C and it's a 4-4 time. That's not how you teach someone a song, Paul. That could be any fucking song. They have to literally teach it to people and they haven't got it
The ending of this film is by far the worst part of it.
So that's a bit, no, I was
it's going, so abrupt. It's so
well,
on the nose.
Well, that you're just like, yeah, you're like, yeah. Oh God, are we supposed to believe this now? They're just like, just go with it.
Exactly. That, right? Just go with it. I think that is the kind of mandate here, and it doesn't hold up, and it doesn't have a lot of internal logic or consistency, and that normally bothers the shit out of me. So I fully acknowledge my nostalgia goggles are in place when I pass this movie.
Yeah, you pass it. You know, I pass it too, because you know what? Fine and everything. Still, I didn't have a terrible time in this movie. I'm going to be straight up with you guys.
But it's a nostalgia. It's the goodwill. It's Bill and Ted and how infectious they are.
And see, I had no nostalgia really, because I don't care too much for the characters. I was actively enjoying Keanu and Alex Winter's performance. And that's more than me saying the nostalgia works. I think that's a bigger feather in its cap, that it takes a guy who didn't like the last movie a lot to come back and go, okay.
Yeah,
so this is good. So yeah. Okay.
Can I also say two words?
Go on.
Dave Grohl.
Okay. Paul's a big Foo Fighters fan. There's a Dave Grohl cameo, which is pretty good. Actually, Dave Grohl's cool. I like him too.
Exactly. He's cool as fuck.
He's a cool motherfucker, isn't he?
Bogus Journey had Jim Martin from Faith No More. That was cool, which you would have just totally missed who he was.
Not Mickey at all. Nope. Oh, no, I did. I said, hey, that's someone that Paul likes. Probably that Flea guy. So
Jim Martin, this big, huge dude with lots of a huge shonk of black hair and Flea, who's a tiny little dude with this really tiny buzz cut of blonde hair.
That's right.
Or green or red hair, whatever. I can totally say he mixed them
the
up.
Same. It's all the same. Okay, well, what's your score then, man?
Is there anything else?
Oh, sorry. Is there anything else?
Yeah, I don't know if we praise the robot enough.
No, the robot is the tit.
Dennis Caleb McCoy.
His reaction when he accidentally vaporized. Yep. Oh,
well, that's the thing. It's so playing against time.
Absolutely.
He vaporizes Ted's dad, I think is the first one, and the van. There's a pause for a beat, and then he's like, ooh.
Yeah, he's like, oh.
He doesn't say shit, but he's like, the look on his face is
perfect. The look on his face is really good. And the actual makeup and stuff to allow his face to do that, good call.
Yeah.
It's interesting that when you vaporize someone, they immediately go to hell. They don't just disappear.
Yeah. Also, that there's all the people that killed were all bad.
All bad. They all went to hell.
All went to hell.
Oh, sorry. Let's just talk about that. His dad from Bogus Journey and the other one is in this movie as what seems to be a high-ranking police officer, even though he's clearly 87. I'm like, you hung in there, my friend. That was another life. They're trying to get us to believe that if you're 87, you can still be the head of a police force.
And the very last thing I wanted to say, which was I alluded to earlier, is the fact that the Princess Babes were completely relegated to this ridiculous side plot, which has no bearing on the film whatsoever.
Now, I should mention here that side plot you're talking about is their marriage counselling with that chick, Jillian Bell.
Which is, that part's fine.
I think it's good. I think she's good.
But after that, when they're going through time taken by their future self.
Oh, that was completely unnecessary.
It just doesn't really, all it does is galvanise Bill and Ted to be a bit more desperate. But they've already got the timeline counting down to be desperate. That's not needed.
Yeah.
It's a completely superfluous subplot just to give the Princess Babe something to do. Also, they both knocked up the Princess Babes 18 years ago, and now they're proposing.
Really?
As a guy who
oh, that's right, yeah, it was.
As a guy who knocked up my partner 7 years ago.
As a man who knocked up my partner a good 3 year, four
even
years ago.
I had the good grace to propose 5 years afterwards.
I think what happened at this stage is that they're afraid they'll lose the princesses after 18 years, and it's like, yeah, let's lock this down.
And that is coming to you from Wainuruzu.
No, man, but I'm saying like...
The man who has promised he will never be married.
I didn't promise. I just... It just seems that way.
Well, it was a blood pact with himself that I witnessed.
No, but that's the other thing. The princesses are all from the 1800s or whatever. I'm pretty sure they would have wanted to get married before now.
Exactly.
Good call.
And I've recast them, and they are younger. I don't think they're 10, 11 years younger. In fact, one of them's 41.
They're 14, lovely girls.
14 years younger.
I think the blondish one I recognize from somewhere.
Yeah, I've seen it before as well.
Yeah, but both of them are pretty tight.
Yep. Well done. Well done. Well done, Bill and Ted. They, particularly the redhead one, has grown up to be much nicer than she was in Excellent Adventure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. I remember we talked about that.
All right. Okay. Let's give a final score then and wrap this up because this is going way long.
Bring
Bill
it.
And Ted.
Bring
go on, Wayne.
60.
Oh, yeah, I'll give it 56.
Oh, okay. So I'm slightly sweeter.
You were hotter than I am.
Nice, nice. All right. Just go and see it if you dig it at all, guys. Just at all. If you at all. Go have a look.
All right, 58 from the countdown. 3 stars overall. Thanks so much for joining us. If you have a different view of Bill and Ted's Face the Music, Bill and Ted's.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted Face the Music, please do hit us up on thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send us an email at thecountdownpc on Twitter. Follow the show, like us on Podbean where we host, and check out ccradio.com.au where we also have our Australian home with a bunch of other great Aussie podcasts. The Facebook community link is in the show notes.
Yep.
That's it for us today. We're going to go out on a pretty rad song. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Hey, that plays.
I'd almost let you get away with that.
Take it back!
Fuck off.
That plays. And we'll catch you next time.
Words here.